Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman. Steve Jordahl joins us.
Good morning.
And Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City. We're in Tupelo, and we thank you for listening wherever you may be across the country. If you want to watch on Facebook or YouTube, just go there and type in Today's Issues. Our email address is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Steve?
Yes,
sir. Good morning to you, sir. What's leading the news?
Well, I just wanted to update everybody on the New Hampshire vote. You know the primary is underway
going on
there.
Today.
Going on today. And so this is the vote so far.
You mean you can keep up with it?
I can.
A running total?
A running total. Amy Klobuchar has 8 votes out of the whole state. And Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren tied at second with 4. Andrew Yang has 3. Write-in has 2, followed by, well, let me actually get...
This is because the way they do it in New Hampshire is the polls open at midnight.
Well, actually, I think it's because they started counting, and then when they got to 8, they just weren't confident that they could count any higher.
So they stopped,
and they're going to retool the app, and they'll have further details later today. I'm just thinking that that's what it is. That's not official, but that's my guess.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that update.
You're welcome.
Steve, maybe more later.
Could be more later.
Okay. All right. What do you got leading the news today?
I know you guys have been talking about Mayor Mike Bloomberg and his kind of ascendancy in the race. He's in it, but he's not in it yet. But the media and those that would like to see maybe a more progressive or a more liberal or more leftist Democrat nominee already have the knives out for him. There's an audio clip that has been released and they found from 2015 where he's defending.
We played that last hour, but it's worth
it. You did.
It's okay. It's worth playing again.
Yeah.
For those who missed it.
This wasn't checked on my list.
It's a little hard to hear.
It is.
But you're going to have mayor. Was he then mayor, or was this after he was got out?
2015, I think he was mayor at this point.
Okay, but anyway, he was Republican mayor of New York City.
Right.
Mike Bloomberg was. The guy running as a Democrat now.
You've heard this, but let me read what it says. He says, he says 95% of murderers and murder victims fit one MO. Not all of this is on the soundbite. But he says you can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They're all male minorities, 16 to 25. It's true in New York. It's true in virtually every city. So you say, are you arresting
kids? Is that a fact?
I think it's a fair fact that the majority of inner city crime is committed by minority.
In that demographic.
Yeah.
Okay, so he said something that's factual.
He did say something. Are you arresting kids for marijuana? They're all minorities? Yes, it's true. Why? Because we put all the cops in minority neighborhoods. That's true. Why do we do it? Because that's where the crime is. Listen to this.
You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They are male minorities. It's true in virtually every city. People say, you are arresting kids for marijuana. They're all minorities. Yes, that's true. Why? Because we put all the cops in the minority neighborhoods. Because that's where all the crime is.
He's dead. He's gone.
Well, you can see the party manipulating things. You know, they kind of turned the tables on Bernie Sanders in 2016. There are people who think that they're already kind of holding Bernie back because he's too far left. Now Bloomberg is the billionaire that nobody wants because he's buying his way in, and so they're starting to get Oppo research.
Has Al Sharpton heard this?
I don't know.
Ray, what do you think about this? I think it's a killer for him.
On the Democrat side?
Well, the social justice warriors, that's precisely what they say.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He can't get away with this, except it's coming out on the day of the New Hampshire primary. So for the next 24, 48 hours, it's going to be kind of buried. My question is, will people just forget this by the time we get to the weekend? Because otherwise, yeah. It's a very inflammatory comment.
No, potentially. I tell you who won't forget it. The Democrat candidates who see Bloomberg as a threat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Bernie Sanders is not going to let that go. And all of them are going to be asked about it. I mean, that's a pretty explosive comment he's making right there.
To be running as a Democrat.
Let me just say this. I don't know what the – it was kind of some kind of news interview right there. Is that what that was?
It was a radio show.
Yeah.
Talk radio
well, it was – it sounded like some – under not an undercover thing, but one of those where somebody was in a meeting and had a phone out.
It is perfectly fair to state facts to me if you're going to talk about crime, especially inner city crime, because it is a fact – that minority males between the ages of 16 and 25 are committing most of the crime, despite the fact that they only make up like 2% of the population. I mean, it's stunning. Of course, the reason for that is the breakdown of the black family. They don't have the fathers in the home to help raise the children. So then you have multiple children out of wedlock. We all know how this goes. There are a lot of people inside the black community who are trying to address this, mm-hmm. but it's a cultural problem now. And so that leads to more gang activity, less dropping out of school. I mean, it's just, it wouldn't, if you did this to the white community, you'd see the same results. It doesn't have any, the results of the behavior choices don't have anything to do with the ethnicity,
right.
Okay? It has to do with the actions. So what Michael Bloomberg's citing there is, yeah, we got a real problem among young, not just blacks in New York, but Latinos and others, 15 to 26 years old, they're committing all the crimes. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. Now, that's a factual issue. But then you get into when he says, well, we put all the cops. What'd he say? We put all the cops
in the minority.
That's a problem.
Right.
Ray. For a mayor to say that, that's a problem because that fits in with the narrative that Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and others are going to say, hey, look, yeah, we've got an inordinate number of arrests because you're telling the cops in our community to go after our young boys.
Right. You're singling us out.
Yeah.
No neighborhood wants to feel like they're being singled out, even though the cops, there's a good reason to increase the police
yes.
presence. That certainly doesn't sound good coming from
right.
a presidential candidate.
On the Democrat side especially. Oh, yeah. If Trump had said what he just said, my word.
Mm.
It would be, it's Charlottesville too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
In fact, look what they went after President Trump. All he said was, you remember when he said, when he was running for office, he said, Mexico's not sending us their finest.
Right.
They're sending, you know, we're getting rapists and drug smugglers and things
thieves
like that.
Thieves and rapists and
well,
murderers.
Everybody knows that he was not talking about every Mexican is a bad person or is a rapist. But the Democrats and the liberal media said, see there, he's xenophobic.
Mm-hmm.
He's criticizing a whole group of people just based on their ethnicity.
Yeah.
That wasn't true. But that's the way they framed it against President Trump. So we'll see if the same happens to Michael Bloomberg. It doesn't help that he's a old white guy who's a billionaire who used to be a Republican a couple years back. And he says something like this. I don't think he gets away with it. And Ray's right. We're in a 24-hour news cycle. Got the New Hampshire primary going on. But if Bloomberg gains some
right.
traction, then it's going to become more of an issue. You're going to have more. It's going to be a dividing factor inside the Democrat Party. All right, go ahead, Steve.
Ray, you were just recently on a cruise, I remember. Is that correct?
Right.
You better be grateful that you weren't on the MS Westerdam, which is a Holland American cruise line ship in the South Pacific. It has been stuck at sea for 14 days after Thailand, the Philippines, Japan, and Guam refused to let it port and dock because of fears over the coronavirus. Nobody on board is sick, they say. But just because it's a cruise ship and it docked in Hong Kong to pick up some people, that's it. They're done.
Because they're afraid. So this isn't like exactly like the cruise ship in Japan, where they've got 135 people confirmed on board quarantine who have the virus. This is a big cruise ship, but nobody has been diagnosed with the virus, but they can't find a place to dock.
According to one person who tweeted out, definitely stressful. We've been at sea 14 days as of Friday. We have no passengers sick in any way. Westerdam is a ship primarily U.S., Australian, British cruisers with no contact with mainland China other than to land in Hong Kong and go straight to our ship.
So they're just out there cruising the ocean trying to find a port, so to speak.
Let us land, please.
Wow.
Yeah, they may end up having to go back to where they departed from.
They could.
I guess.
Well, most cruise ships do. But
Where did they start out?
I don't know where that particular cruise started out. But yeah.
Maybe their home port doesn't want them back.
Probably.
Yeah.
So the World Health Organization sent a team to China, to Wuhan, China, and some alarming rhetoric out of them. It said
– Wait just a minute, guys. Hold on just a minute. Excuse me, Steve.
Yeah.
Interrupt you. Just rewind there about 45 seconds.
Sure.
We just sort of left those people out there in the ocean.
They're still there.
Well, wait a minute now.
That's right.
You got to have somewhere to dock. You can't just – what if it was your family member out there?
I'd be jealous around. Because –
you wouldn't be moving on to the next news story. what's going to happen? How many people are on that boat?
I got my phone out. I'm calling the Coast Guard right now for you.
That's
They're going to have to go back. They're going to have to cut the trip short and just go back to – wherever they departed from.
Well, 14 days is probably as
right. It's probably already over. It's probably past.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not not the dream cruise.
Do you get your money back?
I bet they're gonna.
Surely.
There's gonna be some lawsuits.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there's about 2,257, roughly 2,257 passengers on
don't
board.
Don't you run out of fresh water at some point?
Yeah, you do. And
don't
food.
You run out of food at some point?
Well, they can supply that kind of stuff
okay.
with helicopters and
there's like
ships
remember,
and
you
stuff.
Remember that story, The Man Without a Country?
Right.
And I forgot who wrote that. I had to read that in high school, you know. But he couldn't land anywhere. He was on the ship and didn't have citizenship.
These countries are not wanting what they're not wanting is the ship to dock and then the 2,000 passengers get off without being tested, then they go out, and then they spread it, and then you've got chaos.
So the cruise line said all passengers will receive a 100% refund for the trip and a 100% credit to their next cruise, as if they're going to go back on a boat very soon. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was interesting. So the WHO did go to China and the Wuhan district and said that the virus poses, quote, a very grave threat for the rest of the world, although there are just under 400 cases outside of Wuhan, China, where there are 43,000 cases and over 1,000 people have died. I had an interesting conversation yesterday with a pastor of a Chinese a church in Virginia, a Baptist church, does an English service. His name is Carter Tan. That's the pastor. I want you to listen to what he has to say about how this virus, which is thousands and thousands of miles away from Virginia, is affecting his church.
Our church is thousands of miles away from Wuhan, China. But the ripple effect of that coronavirus from China is definitely felt all the way here. A good 40% drop in attendance as far as activities. And that's just Sunday activities. We have other things going on through the week, and we've seen significant drops. They've had fear in their hearts, and because of that, they've also stopped coming to church and stopped going to, like, Asian grocery stores, things like that. For some of those, fear has really gripped their hearts and has become somewhat irrational in how they make decisions.
Pastor Tan says he's preaching the cross of Christ and how it conquers fear, and says that people should be able to live if they believe in Christ, if it's a real thing for them. He's not, you know, blaming them for being afraid, but he's saying that there's a way to reach out through the cross and to have peace where fear once reigned.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So it's having an effect even over here.
Let me just add two things behind all this. If you read the articles that are and the social media coming out of China, there's a huge disconnect, in my opinion, between the number of cases reported, 43,000 and 1,000 dead, and the overwhelming response of the brutal suppression, the crackdown, the huge cities of 11, 15, 17 million people being shut down. I mean, whole cities being shut down and put under quarantine. The reaction is so large, and the crackdown and suppression. And we've seen the videos of people being welded, people with the virus being welded into their own apartments so they can't get out, and rumors flying about. It makes it hard to believe that the Chinese government is telling us the whole truth about this. And now you see articles in USA Today and New York Times, Wall Street Journal, questioning whether the Chinese government is being truthful about the real extent here. So this is a story, Steve, that I think is far, far from over.
We are going to be hearing a bunch of it from later. Still, the death toll and the number of cases pales in comparison to the regular flu.
Right.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
Just something to keep in mind. it's an unknown right now. There was a report yesterday, I think, where they had somebody that they gave an experimental treatment to that it actually helped. So we'll see. I want to talk about Mitt Romney for a second. You remember when Mitt Romney was running for president, how the mainstream media did its normal job that it does to Republican candidates and took him to task for everything. I want you to hear two things. I'm going to play for you a little clip about what the mainstream media is now saying about him after his decision to vote to convict President Trump on one of the counts of impeachment and after he made his speech from the floor. Listen to the Cut 11.
Wow, that was extraordinary. That was pure honesty and emotion from Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney, of course, the former Republican nominee. In the moment, as he was speaking, it felt historic.
I mean, Mitt Romney is known for being just an ice water in his veins kind of guy.
Swearing an oath before God for Mitt Romney is like unlocking his superpower.
He's a little like Fortinbras in Act 5 of Hamlet, right?
Mm-hmm. Not a lot seems to faze him.
When I heard him explain with such elegance and simplicity, tears came to my eyes.
I've always had such great respect for him.
That was a true profile and courage speech.
It will cement Senator Romney's legacy.
There you go. That's the media. you know, Ray, the man must have solid convictions and must never change his mind on anything, you'd think, right?
Oh, they love him.
They do love him.
Yeah.
I want you to hear another kind of montage that someone put together of Mitt Romney. This is Cut 12.
I believe that abortion should be safe and legal in this country.
I am pro-life. I will defend the sanctity of human life.
I will preserve and protect a woman's right to choose.
I have consistently been pro-life.
Even though you were effectively pro-choice.
I want universal coverage. I want everyone in Massachusetts and in this country to have insurance.
Obamacare was bad policy yesterday. It's bad policy today.
There's plenty of evidence that Mr. Trump is a con man, a fake.
Being in Donald Trump's magnificent hotel and having his endorsement is a delight.
I'm not in favor of new pieces of legislation on guns and taking guns away or making certain guns illegal.
I signed an assault weapon ban in Massachusetts as governor.
But I believe the world is getting warmer. And number two, I believe that humans contribute to that.
We don't know what's causing climate change on this planet. And the idea of spending trillions and trillions of dollars to try and reduce CO2 emissions is not the right course for us.
I'm not familiar precisely with exactly what I said, but I stand by what I said, whatever it was.
Who put that together?
Oh, that's classic beautiful. Right there.
I don't know the answer to that one. I'll find out for you.
Great. Actually, that's a song that many politicians have played down through the centuries.
Yeah.
Talking out of both sides of their mouth. But the thing of it here is, the media is hailing Senator Romney as having principles and a man of conviction, and so he's going to go after, he's going to vote to convict President Trump, when in fact Mitt Romney's been he can't stand President Trump on a personal level, and the feeling's mutual, by the way. So that's. But he wants to play it off as God told him to do this.
Right.
When that montage you just featured right there shows that Romney will say anything. like a lot of politicians, will say anything. Am I right, Walker?
Yes, you're right. Okay. Yeah, that's one reason that in 2012 it was hard to get conservatives excited about Mitt Romney because we didn't know where he stood on a lot of issues, and we actually he had a record of the contrary.
Right. That last line is so great. I agree with whatever I said, whatever it was. That's great.
All right. Yeah, I also don't just a personal side, and I don't care for people who travel the country looking for somewhere to win.
Right. From Massachusetts to Utah.
Hillary Clinton, you know, grew up in Illinois, then married the governor who was to become the governor of Arkansas. Lived there for many years. And then never lived in New York, decided to move to New York so she could run for Senate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She didn't even know where, you know, the New York towns were that were people out there voting for her. I mean, she just so do you call those people carpetbaggers?
That's exactly what you call
them.
Well, that's exactly what Romney, you know, Romney was from Massachusetts. He was the governor of Massachusetts. And then he ran out and ran for Senate. It's just too opportunistic for me. And again, that doesn't bother a lot of people, but I don't care for it. And if he wanted to run for governor, I mean, for senator in his home state of Massachusetts, that's right. Good. Mm-hmm. All right, next story, Steve.
All right, just let's finish with this one. The divide in our country is as bad as it's ever been, and it doesn't look like it's going to heal very anytime soon. I want to talk to you about a poll that went out, and this is a poll, and I don't have who was doing the poll, but this is the question. Which of the following outcomes would you prefer to occur on November 3rd, 2020? 38% of respondents, this is in New Hampshire, said that Donald Trump wins re-election is what they would prefer, as opposed to 62% said they would prefer a giant meteor strikes the earth, extinguishing all human life. And so, I could break it down by income.
So they'd rather go down with the meteor hitting it.
They'd rather go down than have Trump serve another 4 years.
Oh, that you talk about triggered.
That's a good word. You're triggered.
Wow. That's the epitome of it right there. I'm actually hoping, guys, you know all those celebrities?
Yeah.
Last time, who said, if Trump's elected, I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. But then after he was elected, they said, I didn't really mean that. I'm going to stay, mm-hmm. you know. And this time, they'll probably say it again. I'm just hoping this time they mean it. So if President Trump is elected, they will leave the country and move elsewhere.
I actually heard a number of conservative commentators upon those statements offer to pay relocation prices for anybody that wanted to leave.
They weren't ever going anywhere. They were threatening America to leave, which, by the way, America didn't care whether they left or not. So it wasn't really a threat. It's kind of like, ho-hum, so you want to leave, leave. Who cares? It's that they figured out America is the greatest country in the world to live in, so I'm staying.
Right. Where are you going to go?
So I'm staying here. Despite the fact that my fellow Americans have elected Hitler to be our president. That's what the view of these left-wing celebs. Mm-hmm. All right, Ray, thank you.
My pleasure.
Walker, appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Steve?
My pleasure.
And we thank Brent Creeley. Brent ran the controls for us today, and Fred Jackson for his earlier contributions to this program. I think you may have 7 or 8 uhs there for those who are counting my uhs. But I would find something more productive to do with your time. I really would. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody.